Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild with joy as they join the Mark Unger Show, the show that is all about
knowledge.
I am, of course, the one, the only wise one, Mark Unger.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
Joining me, as always, is the lovely and talented Diane Brierley.
There's a fine line between tough and crazy, and you're flirting with it.
Some days.
And Ross Allen Skorzewski is not here. He's a slacker. I don't know where he's at. Slacking. Actually, he's
doing hobby daddy duty.
Yes. He's time to go in for a baby checkup or something at the.
He's having a life.
Doctors. Yes. Yeah.
He's having a life. Like we don't
he
have
has
one.
A life. Unlike the rest of us on this program. Engineering is always the talented Timothy Ray pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the program. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, your relational conundrums, your dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. We'll do our best to opine upon your predicaments. The trade-off is you get to be completely anonymous and we get to be brutally honest. We would never, ever, ever be this mean to you in person.
Emphasis on the brutal some days.
Yeah. Sometimes a little bit too brutal. And it's really not about you. It's just that it triggers other stuff that we deal with so many people. I am not in the studio today. I am in Florida this week, down having a fabulous time in the sun. Good time to leave Green Bay, I must admit. Mm-hmm. And down here with the Laugh Your Way traveling team. My wife and Janet just went out to go walk on the beach.
That's not even funny.
And I'm inside. My cable isn't long enough to go outside, sit in the sun. And I'm in this kind of echoey middle of this condo. Anyway, it's real nice here. And if it sounds a little echoey and strange, or if there's a little delay between our bantering back and forth, it is because we are a long distance apart. So but we're here to answer your questions, look at the thoughts of the day that are being published about marriage and whatnot. So what do you have for us today, Lady Brierley?
Okay, this is actually a blog post from the Huffington Post that a listener sent in. It's hilarious. And it falls into the brutal category. But it's very true. And I just thought it was really worth sharing. Now, bear in mind, I will edit some of this, self-edit some of it. But some of it, I'm just reading what is written, people. So,
well, Huffington Post isn't exactly focused on the family.
No.
Hey, speaking of focus on the family.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, I was on Focus on the Family the last 2 days, and some of you may have caught it. It was okay. It wasn't really supposed to be that way. The purpose of the show was for me to be interviewed by these guys. So what they said is, why don't you come in and do part of your Laugh Your Way thing a little bit, and then we'll do the interview. So at the end of the day, they didn't run the interview. They ran my 30-40 minutes of, you know, my shtick that I do. And of course, now this, and they acknowledged at the beginning that hardly anybody got there on time because there were like major thunderstorms and stuff like that. Yeah, and in fact, us flying in was a little creepy because we're coming in our little plane and we're dodging thunderstorms and stuff coming in trying to land, and it's like, ooh, a little creepy. Because we have the advantage that we can kind of just squeeze through, whereas the bigger planes, they get backed up and delayed. So anyway, so everybody basically shows up, you know, barely getting there, and the audience wasn't completely full because, of the weather and whatnot. So, you know, I get up and I'm like...
You did sound a bit out of breath. You did.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I mean, so you know, but I thought, well, who cares, you know? And my presentation, if you don't have a really big crowd, it's not nearly as entertaining. Mm-hmm. There's material. Now, there's some things I can do. I can do with three people, and it'll be this radio show. Mm-hmm. And we can have fun and stuff, but that laugh your way thing that I do, the Tale of Two Brains, mm-hmm. it is completely designed around a fairly large crowd, half of whom don't want to be there, mm-hmm. which creates all this tension in the room. Any of you who have been to my seminar know it's extremely funny because of the tension that's in the room, and you bounce off of it, and it's great fun. So none of that dynamic is really in play. So it didn't really flow like I wanted it to flow. But the greatest transgression, which when I see the Focus Boys, I'm going to get in their face and give them a hard time. They're great guys. But mm-hmm. And these guys are pros, okay? I mean, they've been doing it a long time. They've been doing 100 years. They know better than to do what they did, which is you do not have a comedic speaker and not mic the audience. I mean, because you can barely hear the audience laughing in the background, which makes the speaker, i.e. me in this case, sound like an idiot. You know, I mean, and it doesn't sound very funny. I don't know if you've ever listened to like comedy channels on the radio or stuff like that.
They always have a laugh.
The best stuff are the guys with the you know, you can really hear the audience mm-hmm. well. The ones that aren't that funny, the material's funny, but you can barely hear the audience. There's a disconnect. Mm-hmm. So here, folks, so they put me up there with this crappily recorded thing where you could barely hear the audience. I was mortified. I couldn't even listen to it anymore. But hopefully it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. But those guys, for heaven's sakes. Anyway, it doesn't surprise me that they ran that instead of the interview because I probably freaked them out.
Mm-hmm. Your live was a little safer than the interview. And they did put a little disclaimer at the beginning when they warned people about not being offended.
He's a bit of a hyperbolist. Yeah. Do you think? Yes, I am. By my own admission. And they've got a big audience. Mm-hmm. And look, those guys are cool. I'm telling you, I know these guys that are all running Focus on the Family now. Whenever we get together, we have a riot with these guys. They are down to earth. They love God. They're practical guys. But yet they know their audience. Mm-hmm. And their audience is filled with extremely conservative people who take offense at almost anything. And I feel sorry for them. They have to deal with all that. But so when you hear them kind of, you know, being careful to present me to the world, they're not being jerks. I mean, these guys mm-hmm. really like me. If they didn't like me, I promise you I would not be on.
No.
Or showing up and speaking with these guys ever. So they're great guys. It's just that particular recording. Again, there was nothing. That recording should have never been aired to the mm-hmm. world, for heaven's mm-hmm. sakes. I mean, if you wanted to do that, I would have said, just go to my DVD yeah. and take the clips off of there. Yeah. The audio's fabulous, yep. and the crowd is very responsive. And, you know, instead of me in Atlanta with thunderstorms going on with a half-empty room with everybody just barely walking in the door, mm-hmm. with the audience not being mic'd. Good heavens, those guys. Anyway, so Huffington Post is certainly no Focus on the Family.
No, they're
unlike
not.
Them, these guys have no problem being as crude as they want to be, and they're pretty left leaning in the first place. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
I met
Ariana Huffington once.
Yeah, I know. You said was the one you did video things.
Her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She used to be a conservative.
Mm-hmm. That I knew.
And then somewhere, you know, her brain got garbled up in a blender somewhere and went way off to the left side of the universe. Anyways, okay, so this is a blog from the website.
Okay, it's called Why You're Not Married. And I'm going to skip down just so you know, Mark. I'm not reading all of the introduction. Why You're Not Married. The problem is not men, it's you. Sure, there are lame men out there, but they're not really standing in your way. Because the fact is, if whatever you're doing right now was going to get you married, you'd already have a ring on it. So without further ado, let's look at the top six reasons why you're not married. Uh-huh. Reason number one. Remember, I'm reading what's written. You're a bitch.
Who's writing this?
It's a woman, Tracy McMillan.
Another woman mm-hmm. explaining to other women why
yes.
they're not married.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And okay, number one. Gee, let's start out soft.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's what I mean by bitch. I mean you're angry. You probably don't think you're angry. You think you're super smart. Or if you've been in a lot of therapy, that you're setting boundaries. But the truth is you're pissed at your mom, at the military industrial complex, at Sarah Palin, and it's scaring men off. The deal is, most men just want to marry someone who is nice to them.
Who does that sound like?
Just be nice.
Just be nice, for heaven's sakes, people. So you got these angry women. Of course, these are lefties, and they are, by the way.
Oh,
have you met these lefty women?
But they just say they're
confident.
They
can find men. Men run from them.
Yes,
it's like, holy cow.
Exactly. She says, I'm a mother of a 13-year-old boy, which is like living with a single-cell protozoa version of a husband. True. Here's what my son wants out of life. Macaroni and cheese, a video game, and Kim Kardashian. Have you ever seen Kim Kardashian angry? I don't think so. You've seen Kim Kardashian smile, wiggle, and make a sex tape. Female anger terrifies men. I know it seems unfair that you have to work around a man's fear and insecurity in order to get married, but actually, it's perfect, since working around a man's fear and insecurity is a big part of what you'll be doing as a wife.
That's right.
That's perfect.
Wow.
Yep, that's perfect. Although we don't condone making sex tapes like Kim Kardashian.
Indeed not.
We'll skip that part. Number two, you're shallow. When it comes to choosing a husband, only one thing really, truly matters, character. So it stands to reason that a man's character should be at the top of the list of things you are looking for, right? But if you're not married, I already know it isn't. Because if you were looking for a man of character, you would have found one by now. Men of character are, by definition, willing to commit. Instead, you are looking for someone tall or rich or someone who knows what an Emus chair is. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is. I never heard of it.
Unfortunately, this is not the thinking of a wife. This is the thinking of a teenaged girl. And men of character do not want to marry teenaged girls because teenage girls are never happy and they never feel like cooking either. This is hilarious.
That's great.
It's true, too. Okay, number three, you're a slut. Hooking up with this is true. Wait, you'll like this one. Hooking up with some guy in a hot tub at a rooftop is fine for the ladies of Jersey Shore, but they're not trying to get married. You are, which means, unfortunately, that if you're having sex outside a committed relationship, you will have to stop. Why? Because past a certain age, casual sex is like recreational heroin. It doesn't stay recreational for long.
Wow.
Now, here you go.
Past a certain age. How sad is that?
What they're
saying is, if you're a teenager, it's okay to have recreational sex.
Not really. Not really. This is due in part to the thing called oxytocin, a bonding hormone that is released when a woman, A, nurses her baby, and B, has an orgasm that will totally mess up your casual sex game. It's why you can be having sex with some dude who isn't even all that great, and the next thing you know, you're totally strung out on him, and you have no idea what is how it happened. Oxytocin is how it happened.
That's exactly right.
And since nature cannot discriminate between marriage material and Charlie Sheen, you're going to have to start being way more selective than you are right now.
Oh, that's hilarious.
It's so true, and it's so hilarious. You
know, not only that, but the studies show that the more times you do this, the less oxytocin you produce, which makes it harder for you to connect.
That's exactly
like you should.
Right. Exactly right.
Wow.
Number four, you're a liar. It usually goes something like this. You meet a guy who is cute and likes you, but he's not really available for a relationship. He has some condition that absolutely precludes his ability, like he's married, or he gets around town on a skateboard, or maybe he just comes right out and says something cryptic and open to interpretation, like, I'm not really available for a relationship right now. You know, if you tell the truth that you're ready for marriage, he will stop calling, usually that day, and you don't want that. So you just tell him how perfect this is because you only want to have sex for fun. You love having fun sex and you don't want to get in a relationship at all. You swear. But about 10 minutes later, the oxytocin kicks in. You start wanting more, but you don't tell him that. It's your secret. Just between you and 22,000 of your closest girlfriends. Instead, you hang around having sex with him, waiting for him to figure out that he can't live without you. I have news. He will never figure this out. He already knows he can live without you just fine, and so do you. Or you wouldn't be lying to him in the first place. All very true, by the way.
People live such screwed up lives. Oh, goodness. That's why you need to do life right,
girls,
for heaven's sakes.
That's right. Number five.
God knew what he was talking about.
Indeed, he does.
A shock.
Number five says, you're selfish. If you're not married, chances are you think a lot about you. You think about your thighs, your outfits, your hair. You think about your career. Or if you don't have one, you think about doing yoga teacher training. Sometimes you think about how marrying a wealthy guy, or at least a guy with a really, really good job, will solve all of your problems. However, a good wife, even a halfway decent one, does not spend most of her day thinking about herself. She has too much to do, especially after having kids. This is why you see a lot of celebrity women getting husbands after they adopt. The kids put the woman on notice. Hello, it's not all about you anymore. After a year.
Who does that sound like?
That's right.
It sounds like I wrote this thing.
I know.
Good heavens.
That's right.
See, now, here's my point. And this is why it so frustrates me with the faith community. Even pagans and heathens are starting to get more of a clue.
That's right.
Than some of these people of faith. And it's like, what the heck is our problem?
We can't even get it when the Huffington Post people can. Number six, right. You're not good enough. Oh, I don't think that. You do. I can tell because you're not looking for a partner who is your equal. Nope, you want someone better than you are. Better looking, better family, better job. Here is what you need to know. You are enough right this minute, period. Not understanding this is a major obstacle to getting married, since women who don't know their own worth make terrible wives. Why? You can fake it for a while, but ultimately you won't love your spouse any better than you love yourself. And smart men know this. I see this at my son's artsy progressive school. Of 183 kids, maybe six have moms who are as cute as they're trying to be. They're attractive, sure. They're just not objects. Their husbands wisely chose them for their character, not their cup size.
Read that again. Back that up again.
Yeah. They're attractive, sure. They're not just not objects. Their husbands wisely chose them for their character, their cup size.
I tell, young guys this, who are all hung up and they're single and they're just trying to find somebody because they're waiting for the next Kim Kardashian or something like that. I said, look at the women around you in great marriages. Look at the great families, the people that you admire and stuff. Just look at the ladies, okay? Most of them, they are just not these stunning super babes.
Right.
But yet they are extremely happy.
Yes. And they're not dogs. They're attractive.
But they would never think of dating any of those women.
No.
Because they're not at this model level that they think in their minds they need to be.
Right. They're looking for the Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah. And it's like, hello. First of all, have you looked in the mirror, dude?
Mm-hmm.
You're way too ugly for a Victoria's Secret model.
That's
and besides,
right.
Some of these women are such high maintenance whiners.
Yeah.
I'm stunned at how many drop dead, gorgeous women that we'll meet out on the road who tell me that their husbands divorced them. And I look at them and I think, how is this possible? Because, I mean, they're stunning.
Mm-hmm.
They're just stunning. Diane, I should show you something. They're just
stunning.
Oh,
I'm sure. I am sure.
And then you got to think, so somebody didn't even want this.
Yeah. There's some things that aren't even worth that. I'm telling you. Sometimes it's not worth it. Not worth it.
There was enough lacking in their character that their unbelievable gorgeousness wasn't enough to keep the guy around.
Didn't trump it all, I guess.
And that's interesting. So these guys have great marriages, but they're not married to supermodels.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Okay, so she finishes it in a really cool way. She says, all right, so all of that's the bad news. The good news is that I believe every woman who wants to can find a great partner. You're just going to need to get rid of the idea that marriage will make you happy. It won't. It won't.
I like this lady.
I know. Once the initial high wears off, you'll just be you, except with twice as much laundry. Because ultimately, marriage is not about getting something. It's about giving it.
Oh, my goodness. Who is this woman? I need to preach this.
Yes.
I need to go, when I speak to singles, and say, I want you to hear what heathens are saying.
This is really good.
I want you to hear what pagans are saying, for heaven's sake. They make more sense than our over-romanticized, over-spiritualized nonsense. Oh, my goodness. This is
really good
to me. It's shameful.
I know it is. I'm glad the listener that sent this in to me sent it because I didn't come across this on my own. Strangely, men understand this more than we do, probably because for them, marriage involves sacrificing their most treasured possession, a free agent penis. And for us, it's the culmination of a princess fairy fantasy so universal it built Disneyland. So guys are willing to give up their free agent hoo-hoos. For marriage. They're willing to sacrifice, apparently. The bottom line is that marriage is...
Well, she certainly has a better view of a lot of men than I do, actually, because there are a lot of guys out there who are just blatantly pigs.
Yeah.
But interesting.
She finishes by saying, the bottom line is that marriage is just a long-term opportunity to practice loving someone even when they don't deserve it. Because most of the time, your messy, farting, macaroni and cheese eating man will not be doing what you want him to do. But as you give him love anyway, because you have made up your mind to transform yourself into a person who is practicing kind, deep, being kind, deep, virtuous, truthful, giving, and most of all, accepting your own dear self, you will find that you will experience the very thing you wanted all along, love.
Wow.
I thought that was fabulous. She's a TV writer whose credits include Mad Men and the United States of Tara, which Mad Men I've heard of. The other one I haven't.
I never heard of that. Wow, that is truly me. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come back with more after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Now, when a woman is stressed out, she has to talk about it. If she doesn't talk about it, her brain will literally explode.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Laugh Your Way presents Mark Gunger's Butt-Kicking Woman Conference. Find out what it takes to be a strong, confident, and respectful woman at the second Butt-Kicking Woman's Conference, May 20th and 21st at Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is not your typical woman's conference and will be unlike anything you've ever attended before. This life-changing weekend will feature nationally renowned speakers Mark Gunger, Lakita Garth, and Carrie Pomeroy. Join us and learn how to be the kind of woman that knows who she is, what she believes, and won't let the devil or anyone else kick her around. For more information, log on to www.buttkickingwoman.com.
Trying to lift you higher and higher as you listen to the Mark Gunger Show, discussing all things concerning marriage. You can send us your email questions and challenges to radio@markgunger.com, and we'll do our best to jump in and give you our opinions about whatever it is that you're facing. You know, in my DVD, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, I talk about the laws of relational physics. Mm-hmm. And you know, that these laws affect everybody regardless of their faith.
Yep.
For example, gravity applies to everybody, whether or not you're a Christian or not. Mm-hmm. You know, if you drive too fast around a corner, you're going to crash, even if you're listening to a Christian radio station mm-hmm. at the time. You know, and a lot of people think because they're Christians that the laws don't apply to them, but they do. And just like there's laws of physics, there are laws of relational physics. And if you will do the right things, you will succeed. If you don't, you will fail. Quite frankly, even independent of your faith status, mm-hmm. which messes with some people's heads, but that's why I'm saying, you know, there are non-Christians who have great marriages, and there are Christians who have horrible marriages. Mm-hmm. And the Christians who have horrible marriages don't understand why. Well, I prayed, and I, God brought us together, and I don't know what happened. Well, because they're doing everything wrong. And that opening thing that you read is from a woman who certainly not claiming any, mm-hmm. you know, Christian perspective. Background. I mean, if she is a Christian, she's, using
actually,
some pretty colorful language.
But the beginning that I didn't read, I don't know if you caught that, if you saw it when you looked at it, she's been married and divorced three times.
Oh, so she's been a mess herself.
Wow.
But anyway, so she finally gets it. And she's, I could have written that article, for heaven's sakes. Because it's just common
sense.
It's
about the right thing. Doing the right thing.
It's about doing the right thing. So there you go.
That was very interesting. Good. Yeah, because a lot of the non-Christian girls have done all these things right, and they have nice husbands, and they're doing just fine. And the Christian girls who can't do it right are the ones crying because they don't have husbands.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
First email.
What do you got today?
First email comes from New Zealand. She said, I had the privilege to attend your marriage seminars when you were here in New Zealand at City Impact Church and am now currently loving your radio shows. Okay. The question she wants to know, is it my business to ask my two brother-in-laws not to smoke? The thing is, we have been living together ever since I married the oldest brother 7 years ago. So it's she's married to one brother and two of the other brothers also live. So it's three families all living together. She said she has talked to her husband about it. And the husband asked the two just to keep it out in the front yard, that they wouldn't smoke in the house. She's 32. Yeah. The husband's 29. The second brother's 26 and the youngest is 23. And they both have girlfriends. She's tried to talk to the girlfriends about it. She wants to know, where do I draw the line? Am I allowed to tell the pastor that the boys are smokers? And what about telling their girlfriends that they're still smoking? Because apparently the boys have told the girlfriends that they're not, but they're sneaking around doing it.
Ah.
And they've asked her not to talk to the girlfriends. So what can she do? It's her house. I mean,
it's your house. First of all, I wouldn't. There's things worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. There's things that are not. Smoking is obnoxious and irritating. It is not prohibited by the Bible. Mm-hmm. Bible doesn't talk about anything about smoking. Okay, so don't make something that's not as though it were. Okay. Now, having said that, it's your house, and as long as they smoke out in the front yard, what do you care? Why would she care if they're smoking out? What does she care?
As long as not in my house. I wouldn't like it in my house either if I were her. But if they were out in the yard, that would.
I wouldn't play any of their lying piece of crap games. Mm-hmm. You know, I would squeal on all the girlfriends. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, do you notice Bob kind of smells like cigarettes? Because he's been smoking. You know, is Bob there? Ah, he's out in the back. I think he's still smoking cigarettes. I mean, I'd tell him.
Don't cover and lie
for play their
them.
Stupid
right.
games. You don't have to lie and cover for these little slime bags. Good grief. What are you, in third grade, for heaven's sakes? You know, when you're children, you play those games. You're an adult woman. Don't play those games. Don't let them play them with you. Mm-hmm. And if they get mad at you, just say, hey, if you don't want them to know you're smoking, then quit smoking. Very simple. Don't lie to them. Good grief. Mm-hmm. People are so strange. Isn't that funny? These guys don't want the girls to know what they're really doing.
Yeah. That's kind of a bad start with your girlfriend, if you ask me.
And she said, should I tell the pastor? Apparently these are Christian boys.
Apparently.
Oh, yeah. I'd squeal on them all. I would.
Be the narc.
I'd narc them all out. I'd expose them. Good grief. You're not little children anymore. If they're going to act a certain way, tell them to man up. Either that or stop it. All right, we'll be back right after this break.
Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles.
You'll never conquer that thing that's got a hold of you until you bring it out of secret, out of the darkness, and bring it into the light.
And you know, that is such the key right there. Because truly what it boils down to for me, my experience is that I had to get to that place where I've said, I've had enough. Mm-hmm. I don't have another ace up my sleeve. In every situation, I believe that it's a constant surrender.
Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with national abstinence speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. Honest and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, dating, and relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Oh, wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet on the Mark Gunger Show. We're just getting started as we answer your marital questions, relational questions, dating dilemmas, so forth, that you can email to us at radio@markgungershow.com. Look who the cat just dragged in. Ross Allen Skorzewski.
Slacker boy.
Slacker boy has arrived on the scene.
Please let me in.
Yes, from the movie.
Please let me in.
So you were... at a doctor?
A doctor's appointment yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, waiting forever. Yeah. I hate those things, man. You got to wait forever. Wait. You know, when I was growing up, my dad was a doctor, and he just passed away last year. But what I always loved was whenever I wanted to see the doctor, I just went right to the head of the line. I know.
You didn't have to wait.
I'd walk past all the saps in the waiting room, and I'd say, hey, how y'all doing? Just to walk right in. Hey, Pops! And he'd check me out right away, and... It was great.
Yeah, I did that a few times with him as well. And the look on the people's faces was quite priceless.
You know, who are you?
I don't think they appreciated it much.
No, not at all.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, 45 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, email. This is a very long one. I'm going to highly edit it. There's a lot of information. But she says, I don't know what to do anymore. I have prayed, fasted, worshipped, waited patiently, put it on the altar, took it off again, became beat up, frustrated, angry, hurt, disappointed, and everything else in between over my husband and his addiction to pornography. She said, I was also into this for many years in my life before I became born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. God began to make me free as I obeyed his word starting about 9 years ago.
By the way, we don't hear much about that, but a lot of women do struggle with pornography as well, who also get poisoned into this deal.
I love my husband very much, but find it is so difficult at times to even be intimate because of his obsession with texting his buddies porn all day long. My husband has also shared this with filth with our 21-year-old and thinks that it is okay. He won't go to church with me. I pray over, they have two other children, an 8 and a 9-year-old. I pray over my children every day, sometimes a couple of times a day with them. And then when I am out and about, I keep praying. I anoint them and the house. I bind and loosen. I wake up doing spiritual warfare. I pray over my husband while he sleeps and throughout the day. I want the spirit of lust to be uprooted from my family and the generations to come. I sanctify the house. I walk according to the word of God. How can I help my husband when he doesn't want to pray or seek help? When she talks to him, he says, you made the decision to stop being involved in pornography, not me. He thinks it's fine as long as he doesn't go out and commit adultery.
Uh-huh. Okay, here's what I think. You want to know what I think? Mm-hmm. You've done everything except the thing that really matters at this point. Mm-hmm. You haven't been really living out the full biblical picture, which is there are consequences for really bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And I give you a mini version of this. You know, I preach this a million times, and for all the people who hear the show all the time, I feel bad for them to have to keep hearing this over and over again. But the Bible says, should we forgive people? Absolutely. Jesus taught we should forgive people. 70 times 7, right? Mm-hmm. But yet, he said, if you go to a brother and he won't repent, and you go the second time with others and he won't repent, and you tell in front of the whole church and he won't repent, you kick him out of the church. Mm-hmm. Paul talked about turning people over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. They kick them out of the church. Paul said, if you know of someone who's acting immorally, don't have anything to do with them. Don't even have lunch with them. Don't even sit and have a meal with them. which is pretty strong. You think, mm-hmm. wow, what about forgiveness? What about compassion? Doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to forgive people? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. There's all kinds of things about but it's not the full story. Mm-hmm. The rest of the story is that there are, at some point you cross a line and there are consequences. There is discipline that kicks in. Mm-hmm. The church has failed to teach this to women. What all they teach women is they need to submit.
Yeah.
Just need to submit, need to submit. But they don't bring into the home the entire teaching of the Bible. The same word that says women should submit is the same word that says churches should submit to their pastors. Mm-hmm. Okay? But there's not a church on the planet that would tolerate a pastor coming in drunk on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. They'd kick him out.
That's right.
There's not a church that would tolerate a pastor who's stealing money from the church. They would kick him out. Why? Consequences. There's not a church that's going to tolerate a pastor committing adultery and hitting on women in the church. They would kick him out. But the Bible says we should submit to our pastor. Yes, of course, but at some point you cross a line mm-hmm. and then consequences kick in. What you've done, dear, is you've done everything except bring any consequences mm-hmm. into the relationships. In my advice, if you want my advice, I'm just telling what I think. You don't want to do it, do whatever you want to do. It's not going to affect me. Mm-hmm. But you should have a talk with him and say, look, we're not going to do this anymore. You need to choose the porn or me. And if you can't just pick me, then you need to leave. Or you leave, mm-hmm. one of the two, and you separate from the guy. Mm-hmm. Don't divorce him. I'm not advocating for divorce. I'm advocating separation. He will get mad. He will curse. He will scream. He will threaten. He will try to just make it up. Just do not react to him. Do not mm-hmm. react to it. Just when he's all done, say, so are you choosing me or the porn? And he'll scream and curse some more. And just when he's finally, don't react to any of it. Even mm-hmm. the mean things. He'll try and say things, you know, stuff about you and you did that. Just react to nothing. In fact, as soon as he starts talking, in your head, all you hear is blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And don't listen. Just as soon as he starts talking, it's just nothing but that's all you're hearing come out of his mouth the whole time. Don't even focus on a word he says until he's done ranting and raving. And maybe he walks away mad and then he comes in and whenever you see him later, just ask, so is it me or the porn? And then when he screams it out, just ignore it all mm-hmm. until, he, and then finally say, okay, I'm still waiting for an answer. Is it me or the porn? And at some point, you know, he's got to say, and if he refuses to give up the porn, then you kick him out of the house mm-hmm. or you leave, whatever, either one you got to do. Mm-hmm. And don't divorce him. Don't get angry. Don't get mad. Don't cry and have a fit. Just say, no, it's very, very simple. I promise you, dear, the difference between you and women who don't have porn in their homes is the women who don't have porn in their homes won't allow it. Mm-hmm. You do. That's the difference.
And I asked her if
you pray, you fast, you sanctify, you quote the scriptures, you do everything except what you should be doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should be doing that stuff as well. But I mean, the thing is, as long as you continue to allow it, it's not going to change. You know, it reminds me of the prophet in the Old Testament. I can't even think of his name right offhand. But anyway, he had two sons that were really, really evil sons. Okay, and it got him in trouble. And God finally brought judgment on him and his sons. But here's a great man of God, and he did everything right. He was a great prophet in the Old Testament. But when it came to disciplining his sons, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do anything about it. So here's a man who's a great man of God, a great prophet, but where he failed is he wouldn't force the issue. He wouldn't deal with these boys. He refused to make the tough decision and bring consequences. And it eventually cost him everything. So here's this lady. She's kind of like this prophet. She's doing all the righteous things and all the godly things, which you should do. But when it comes to dealing with the evil in her home, she won't do it. And it'll eventually fall on her, and it'll destroy everything anyway. So my advice, you just tell him, you choose me or the porn. You can't have both. Bobby, I know you think you've had both for a long time. You need to decide. And then just kick him out. Kick him out. Mm-hmm. He's not going to die. You're not going to die. So, well, we can't do it financially. Yes, you can. You can survive. Chances are you're going to divorce him anyway. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of when. You need to fight for your marriage while you still care. Kick him out now. End it now. Not the marriage, don't end it, but end the scenario. Just mm-hmm. say, and then he'll move out or you move out, and then he'll get mad. My guess is at some point he will call and say, okay. Okay, I won't do any porn anymore. And then when he come back, he probably will. And then you do it again. See, that's what women hate. Women hate the fact that they have to keep doing it over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, just wake up, girls. Reality check.
She's afraid to even withhold sex from him because I asked her about that, and she said she's afraid that it will, you know, turn him to somebody else or make the problem worse. So that, you know, and she hates having sex with him while he's doing this, but is afraid to.
Her problem is she's afraid.
Mm-hmm.
That's her problem.
Mm-hmm.
You say you're a woman of God, but you're weak. You sound spiritual, yet you're very unspiritual.
A lot of fear.
You sound bold and empowered, but you're not. Because at the end of the day, what dominates you is your fear.
Mm-hmm.
You are afraid. That's why he does what he does. That's why there's porn in your home. And that's why you're unhappy and miserable. You need to stop being afraid. He's not going to go anywhere. I promise you. He's not going to. He will freak. Men who do this, they love to be narcissistic little children. And when you take away everything, now all of a sudden he doesn't have a wife to make love to.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have someone to take care of his house, to clean his underwear, to cook his food. As soon as all that's gone, it will jerk the slack out mm-hmm. of him. And you don't need to have to make a big deal of it. Don't spiritualize it. Don't tell him he needs to come to Jesus mm-hmm. or just leave him alone. Between him and God is his own business. This isn't between him and God. This is between you and him. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And just all you got to say is, look, it's a simple decision, Bobby. Me or the porn. That's all there is to it. And until you do that, dear, you will never have victory over this in your life. Mm-hmm. Your pastors will tell you you will. Your Christian friends will tell you you will. Of course, these are people who keep giving out bad advice that hardly ever works in people's lives because they're failing to live up to the full biblical picture. The full biblical picture is the consequences.
Mm-hmm. And the
ask any pastor, says, well, just trust God and believe God and say, well, pastor, what do you think the church would do if you did this? You think they'd keep you around? Well, no, they'd vote me out right away. Well, yeah. Why? Consequences. You see, what we're failing is to teach the full teaching of the scripture, mm-hmm. of the church, is supposed to be applied in the home. But we don't do that. All we teach is the part where women should submit. It would be the equivalent of telling pastors to their congregations all the time that you have to submit to me no matter what I do, ever. Well, no one would ever do that in mm-hmm. a church standpoint. But they say it in the home. Which is a misrepresentation. They're not teaching the full truth of the scripture. Because whatever is taught in the home, in the church, those principles are still applied in the home. You have not applied those principles, and whoever you're listening to is not taking the full teaching of the Word of God and applying it in the home. So you have a choice. Either you just put up with the porn, or you make him choose. And you kick him out, or you move out for a while. And then when he begs you to come back, you come back. And if he does it again, you kick him back out again. And then if he does it again, you know, I don't care if you got to do it 20 times in a week. At some point, ladies, even a dog mm-hmm. can be trained. Which is a whole other problem because women, they can't handle it. They, you know, I've tried three times.
Say it once and have it.
Seriously? Mm-hmm. Here's a guy who's got an addiction. You think three times is going to cut it? But
probably
at some
not.
Point, he will get the picture, I cannot have this woman and porn. Make him choose. Or be quiet and stay miserable. Next email.
Next email says, when people of the opposite sex meet each other in the marketplace, at church, in the mall, or any other place, is it okay to greet one another with a quick hug and a possible kiss on the cheek? Is that considered intimate? Is that a sign of disrespect to a relationship? Here's the example. I have friends that go back 28 years who I've grown to love, and we have only shared friendship. We went to high school together, lived together in the same community, same church, all of that for a long time. Now enters a dating partner who thinks it is a sign of disrespect and intimacy with the other person. She believes that it is his issue that he has because maybe he's used greetings to whisper naughty and inappropriate suggestions and that he's projecting it on to others. Is it a sign of disrespect to greet people of the opposite sex with a quick hug and possibly a kiss on the cheek, followed by an introduction to the person or people that you are with?
Of course not. Of course not. There's a whole culture. The Latino culture does that all the time. We kiss people that we meet for the very
mm-hmm.
first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I can always tell Latino or Latina women when they come and they're being introduced to me, even in our church in Green Bay, unlike a typical American woman who would reach out her hand to mm-hmm. shake the hand or nod when you meet somebody. When you meet a Latino woman mm-hmm. and she's being introduced, she will step forward
mm-hmm. for the
so that I can kiss her on the cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, all the time. You see it all the time. So whole cultures do this, for heaven's sakes. There's cultures where not only do they kiss women, they kiss men.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, Ross, you were in Russia, right?
Oh, my gosh. We were ministering on the streets. And I had, after we got done doing our little allegory, this play, and all of a sudden this old Russian guy comes up to me, grabs me by the face, and kisses me on both sides of my cheeks. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I was shocked and appalled. I almost felt like planting him right back on his lips.
That's the culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I was in Italy, men would kiss you, men on both sides, women and men. It was just a normal thing. The Bible actually says greet each other with a holy kiss.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, now we're not talking about coming up, smacking them on the lips and swapping tongue.
We're talking tonsil hockey.
Kisses. Mm-hmm. Tonsil hockey. How you doing? My name's Bob.
No.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about just kissing. And I remember in Italy, Dev, you remember these guys, these old guys? You'd hate kissing these old men because they had these beards that were just barely out of their cheeks. And they were like razor sharp.
Prickery, yeah.
So...
Whisker
so
burn.
They would go, pace, pace. And they go, meow, meow, on either side of your face. And like your face would burn as their beards would rip into your cheek. And, it's like, holy cow. So is it inappropriate to see a friend and hug them and give them a kiss on the cheek? Of course not.
No.
If you have a boyfriend who gets freaked out about that, it's very simple, dear. You either stop it or dump the boyfriend and find one who isn't paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. If
That's
you want the
weird.
Boy and he doesn't like you to do it, then stop doing it.
Yeah.
You know, if you know so, you know, and here's the problem. You know, people don't want to just be nice. Everybody wants to be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants what they want. You know, if I ask my wife not to do something because it bothers me, she generally doesn't come and say, well, there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong in the Bible in it. You know, you don't do that. Just be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If my wife says, I don't want you doing it, I don't go, well, there's nothing in the Bible against that. Yeah, I wouldn't throw that in her. I would just say, okay. Are you sure? Yeah, I don't want you doing that. Okay. You know why? Because I got to live with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
For heaven's sakes. Now, you're not married to this guy yet. If it bugs you that much, dump his butt and find another guy.
Yeah.
Is there anything inappropriate? Of course not. He doesn't like it. Two choices. Stop it or dump his butt.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
People complicate their lives way too
they
much.
Do.
Let's take a break.
Okay.
And we'll be back with more right after this.
Finally, marriage advice that's direct, honest, and to the point. This is The Mark Gunger Show on MarkGunger.com.
Do you want to discover the heart of your child and who God created them to be? Laugh Your Way America is excited to introduce the Kids Flag Page. This fun and interactive game will help you discover the unique way God wired your child. Find the key things that motivate them and learn what they love most about life. This colorful and engaging activity set will help your child see who they are at their very best and will teach you how to bring out the best in your child. Each Kids Flag Page game comes with everything you need to complete three Kids Flag Pages. Designed for children ages 4 to 11, the Kids Flag Page is a fun way for moms and dads to interact with their kids and truly discover the heart of each child. To order your game, go to www.laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
She's a pastor's wife and a jail chaplain. The Debbie Chavez Show.
My delight now to re-welcome to our program the author of that best-selling book, The Five Love Languages, Gary Chapman.
Hi, Debbie. How are you?
The Debbie Chavez Show.
Best-selling author, Stormy O'Mardian.
Hi, Debbie.
The Debbie Chavez Show.
And so what I've learned from so many of my guests and what I've learned from my life experience of trial and error is that we have an enemy of our souls, that would be the devil, who loves to lie to us, and we buy the lies. He's the one that whispers in your ear, you know, all guys watch pornography. It's normal. It'll be okay. It's not hurting anybody. Or maybe the enemy whispers into your ear, you really need to eat that chocolate cake. You really need to have that order of French fries. Just drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's. It'll make you so happy. You've had a rough day. It's a big, fat, stinking lie. Let's be smart here and examine the thoughts that we entertain in our minds. Is that thought really from God, or is it from the enemy? And if it's from the enemy, kick it out.
The Debbie Chavez Show, streaming daily at faithplace.org.
Like a fool, I went and stayed too long. I'm wondering if your love's still strong. Ooh, baby, here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours.
Here I am, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. I am Mark Gunger, and you are listening to The Mark Gunger Show, the show that's all about dealing with your marital and relational questions. You can email to us at radio@markgunger.com.
Next email says, my question is about my daughter. She's dated once. Her daughter's 15, by the way. She's dated once before, and I found out through a friend that she's dating again. I had no idea about this new boy until just a few days ago because she's rather closed off from us. I only know bits and pieces of her last relationship, but I know she and her ex fought a lot. My issue is that with the new boy is that she's dating.
Ex.
Yeah. And the new boy is a non-believer, apparently. My daughter is a huge part of our church. She's extremely committed to living her life the way she should. Maybe not that committed. After being with her ex, she is committed to doing relationships right, too. I don't think so. Anyway, the mom says, I know that she plans to marry a Christian man. She refuses to even think about marrying a heathen. She's a smart girl and has always gone out of her way to make sure nothing has ever happened with a guy. I trust her, but I'm afraid she's getting too close to this boy. I'm afraid that she will get too close and then want to marry him. I'm afraid that she will become weak and give in to him. Should I be concerned about this? Should I be worried about her getting too close? Any advice?
Okay, this probably is not fair.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am, but your email makes you sound a little crazy. First of all, you say she's dating and you don't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
How exactly is that happening? What are you doing as a mom?
Mm-hmm.
And she's already has an ex? At 15, she has an ex? Are you crazy?
I asked her some more information. She
and
said,
she's dating a heathen, but yet she knows she's a good girl in church.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, you don't make any sense at all.
Who's ruling the roost?
She said, technically, I do not allow dating. She dated this new boy and her old boyfriend behind our back. I did establish...
What exactly are you doing as a parent?
Well, she said, I did not establish any dating rules.
No. The only way she can even begin to do this... Is she? You have no idea where she is, or what she's doing, or who she's with. What kind of parenting is that?
Well, she said a lot of it was that they're meeting at church, but now this new boy, the old boy was, the new boy isn't a churchgoer, so they're saying that they're going out with friends, and then she's not with friends.
Whoa, just wait a minute.
Yeah.
Good grief. Meeting at church is not dating.
No.
How is she dating anybody?
She said that they don't let her go on dates, but she goes behind the back. They're supposed to be going shopping with friends. Then she'll meet up with the friends and the boy, and they split up and leave and take off on their own, things like that. But then she says...
If you know that, ma'am, you don't let her go off with her friends.
Yes.
It's very simple. The problem here is not your daughter. It's you.
Parenting, yeah.
What kind of parent is this?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know kids can sneak around and try and do stuff, but boy, as soon as we'd find out anything was amiss, it stopped. I promise you, my daughter is cooking up and separating off with some boy. It's the last time she goes to the mall. She does not go to the mall unless I take her to the mall. At 15, which means she started this at 13 and 14, if she's done this once before, the problem is not your daughter, it's you.
That's right.
Be a parent, for heaven's sakes.
Well,
how in the world can she be dating that you don't know about?
There's an issue with the parents being on the same page, too. She said that she and her husband don't get along very well. They don't have the same ideas about how to parent her. The dad just yells and hollers, and I think that she's trying to cover and protect her daughter. So when they start trying to deal with the daughter, they end up fighting amongst themselves. It's a mess. It's more about them and more about her than the daughter.
The kid cannot do this unless you let them do it. If the kid is running off doing inappropriate things with inappropriate people, it's because you let them, period. Parent the kid. As soon as you're done in church, what do you mean they're sneaking out in the back? What kind of church is that? Are they not involved in the youth group? Are they not involved in the... Then they say, well, they do it. They break away from youth group. Then you don't let her go to the youth group.
That was the other boyfriend.
She sits in church.
Yeah. She sits in church with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
We did this with our kids. Boy, do they hate it. Oh, my gosh. You look at me smiling and my wife smiling, worshiping Jesus. And then you got these two teenagers around us. Just all crappy mouth and gripe because we wouldn't tolerate it. And we did that just if they were goofing off. Not if they were running off with some kid from the opposite sex.
That's right.
be a parent, for heaven's sakes. You don't let her go to youth group if that's what happens. And then when she's with her friends, she breaks off with other. You don't let her go hang with her friends. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's very simple. She'll cry. Why? Because of what you do.
Yeah.
Well, I don't get to. Well, you can see your friends. You can come over and bring them over here. But I need to go to the mall. Okay, I'll go to the mall. What do I want my friends? Okay, invite your girlfriends and we'll all go to the mall together.
Yeah.
Well, you don't trust me. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think she wants to be your friend more than her mom.
Yeah, it's only your daughter's problem because you, mm-hmm. mom, are a very poor parent. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not going to make you feel very good, but I'm telling you, thousands of people listening to me right now are shaking their head going, yeah, I mean, there's no way the person who's really parenting their kid, they are not running and building dating relationships mm-hmm. that you find out later. Oh, I didn't know. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What kind of parent are you? So this is on you, mama. It's not on your daughter.
It's also, it sounds
start
like it was on the
doing
dad, too.
Your job.
Because they were arguing about how to even discipline. And then
it sounds to me like the dad doesn't want her doing this. And so he yells
exactly.
at her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, okay. So he yells. So what? The problem is he wouldn't have to yell if you both would pay attention to what the kid's doing in the first place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. True.
What
true.
Parent? Just Diane, do you just let your daughter just go off, do whatever she wants?
No.
And you don't check on them?
No, no. I know where she is all the time.
Are you kidding? When we were, our kids were raised, I was stunned. Deb and I were stunned all the time at how the other Christian parents really had no idea what their kids were doing. They had no idea. They never checked on them.
Yeah.
They had. If our kids said they're going over to Bobby and Susie's house, is your mom and dad there? Yeah. Well, then they go over there and you wait for 20 minutes and then you call Bob and mm-hmm. Susie's mom. Say, I just want to make sure that Phil's over there. No. Are those at your house? No, the kids, no, none of them showed up here. Well, then there was hell to pay, okay? Yeah. We found they did not do this more than once or twice because there was hell to pay. Yeah. You parents who are dumber than bricks, who I trust my, you trust a teenager, you should be horsewhipped. You should be put in public stocks in the public square and people should throw feces at your face all day long.
And I will tell
you,
sakes. It does not make my beautiful 16-year-old daughter very happy with me sometimes, but it's not my job to make her happy. It's my job to get her to adulthood without having a train wreck of a life, you know? So
that's all right. You're only talking finishing the job. Here mm-hmm. you've been doing this for 15 years, Mom. You can't go 3 more years. You can't finish the job for 3. And I know you parents, you get these teenagers and you think, oh, thank God they can finally take care of themselves.
Oh, no.
They're finally, they don't poop their pants and I can trust them. And it's all about letting them just trust Jesus. I'm just going to trust. You are dumber than bricks. You are the ones who have daughters who will get pregnant. Mm-hmm. You are the ones who have boys screwing other girls. You are the ones, and they're in church. You know how many Christian kids, Ross, you know this.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Christian church kids go to church and some churches and get oral sex.
Oh, I know mm-hmm. it. I know it.
At the church. Because the parents aren't paying attention and the youth leader isn't paying attention. There's no discipline and everybody gets together and they sneak out the back and nobody's watching.
Oh, I know.
Unstinking believable. This is not a kid problem. This is a parent and an adult problem. If you have a church where kids go off and do whatever they want, you have an adult problem in your church. And if your daughter's doing stuff you don't know about, this is your problem. You need to deal with you. Okay, guys. See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!